Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Happy Easter. He has risen. He has risen indeed.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in. And today we're joined by Pastor Julie Harris. Pastor Julie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing good. It's good to have you with us.
And Pastor Julie is joining us via the phone. Pastor Julie, just to give us a little background, tell us about where you're serving, and then we'll get into the start of your testimony.
Okay, so I am the worship pastor at Charlottesville First Church of the Nazarene, and I have been attending there since 2004 and have been actively serving in ministry since 2009. So I lead worship every week. I lead women's ministries. And I also have a nursing home ministry where I several ladies go with me to two different nursing homes on Friday mornings and do worship services. And that is just truly a blessing to us.
Yeah, that's great. That is great. And I am having fond memories of sitting in class with you as we were both working towards our ordination.
Oh, definitely.
Those were the days, right?
Was that?
I know, they seem like forever ago now, but yeah.
It does,
but
yeah.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Great memories.
Yes.
Great, great memories.
Yeah, same.
Probably a lot of laughter and a lot of joking around.
Oh, yeah.
I remember one of our classmates would say, maybe I come in a little bit too jovial, and one of our classmates would say, well, I don't know near as much as I used to know. And there were days I left that class going, I'm not sure what I know, but I learned a lot.
I agree.
Yeah, you know,
yep.
It was a great journey, just a journey of grace and of really putting down deep roots into our own faith. And interesting, I just want to make a connection here before we go too far and I forget. We just recorded with Chad Moeller, and Chad oversees that process with others on the district, but you serve alongside Chad there in Charlottesville.
I do.
So we are grateful that both of you all were willing to just have this conversation and share with us. So,
Well, thank you for the invitation.
Yep. Pastor Julie, start out telling us a little bit about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Well, I was born in Germany. My dad was in the army. He served in the band and he played saxophone. And we moved back to Virginia Beach when I was quite young. I was about two or three. So unfortunately, I don't remember Germany. But I grew up in Virginia Beach. And then my husband and I moved to Charlottesville in 2004. And I've lived in the same house ever since.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about your journey of faith. Like, what did you grow up in the church?
So both of my parents grew up in church, but I did not.
Okay.
They took me, you know, occasionally on holidays, Easter, Christmas, we would go to church. But it was not a part of our weekly life. I was a Christian. They taught me about God. But I didn't really know what it was like to have a relationship with Jesus. I didn't understand what that meant until many years later. And so it really wasn't until we moved to Charlottesville that I really got serious about my walk with the Lord and just really sensed his presence in my life. But there was a big moment for me is when I met my husband. So when I was 16 years old, I was looking for a job and I applied at a grocery store that was sort of across town. It was actually a store where I would pass many grocery stores to get to this one particular store. But this was back in the old days where they had movie rental places. Remember when we had to rent VHS tapes? That's what we did on Fridays. Well, they had a movie mart inside of this grocery store. And so that's where I applied for a job. Well, the manager told me after she hired me that she hired me because she thought I would make a good match with somebody there. And I just laughed because I was 16 and he was 22. That's a huge age difference. I said, no way. I'm not. That's crazy. And so anyway, I worked there for about a year and then I turned 17 and my parents separated. My dad actually left our house and he took the car, and that was what I used to get to and from my job. And so when he left, the biggest thing I was upset about was how am I going to get to my work? Because I definitely need to be working now and making money. And so I called my manager and, you know, I was upset and I said, I don't know how I'm going to get to work. And she said, I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. And so what she did was she devised a plan and had someone work the day shift. She kept them on the clock, had them drive all the way across town to pick me up and take me to work. And at the end of my shift, the same person would clock in, pick me up, take me all the way home. And so this happened for a long time. And that was the person that she wanted to set me up with. And wow. Last weekend, we celebrated our 29th wedding anniversary. So
she knew what she was doing, out. Right?
She sure did. But also, I mean, that was such a huge God thing in my life because it was, you know, a really trying time with my parents having separated. And when I started to date my now husband, he came from a very, very strong Christian family. And so his parents were really my first experience of having someone close and personal loving me with the love of Christ. They just were so joyful all the time. I never heard them raise their voice ever or say a curse word ever. It was just the most loving family. And, you know, at first I kind of took that for granted because I didn't really understand what that kind of love was. Mm. And then through the years, you know, I realized this was God at work, you know, drawing me to him. Even when I was a surly teenager, even then, you know, God was at work bringing me to him. And I thank God for what he's done in my life and for bringing me into that strong Christian family.
Yeah, it sounds to me like there's some prevenient grace going on there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
God was using that family to pursue. It was his heart that you would come to him and they were the people. So that's really amazing. So talk to us about coming to faith. Like, what was that journey like?
So for me, I didn't, like, you don't know what you're missing if you've never had it. So I didn't realize what I was missing in not having a family in Christ and being a part of a church. And so when I started dating my husband, he had, like most young adults, kind of stopped going to church on a regular basis. But, you know, once we got married, we said, we're going to find a church because, like most young couples do, we want our children to be in church, right? Mm-hmm. So we looked on and off for a church, didn't really find one that we just felt like, you know, was our place. And then we had a situation where my husband was looking for another job and he couldn't find one in the area. And so I said, just out of the blue, well, if we want to move to Charlottesville, that might be a place I'd be okay with. Because one of the questions you had sent me, the sample questions, was what was your favorite childhood memory? And one of those favorite memories for me was my grandfather, my dad's dad. Every once in a while, he would come and knock on our door and say, pack your bags, we're going to go to the mountains. And so he would take us up and go to Carter's Mountain. Mm-hmm. And then we would drive on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And so those were, we only did that a few times, but those were just the most happy family memories that I had. Mm-hmm. And so when I knew he was looking for another job, I said, Charlottesville, that place just kind of, you know, called my name. And mm-hmm. so sure enough, this is another God thing. He applied for several positions, got interviews within just a few days. We drove up, found our house. He got the job. This was like within a week's time. We put a for sale by owner sign outside of our house in Virginia Beach, sold it for over the asking price in like 3-4 days. And it was such a whirlwind that we ended up here in Charlottesville. But I truly believe that was, again, God's plan, because getting me out of my comfort zone of being in that place that I had grown up in with the people that I had grown up with all those years, it really made me seek something more. I had to, you know, really be intentional about meeting people, finding friends. And so I have another story too. So the very first person that we met when we moved into our house in Charlottesville was our neighbor's little boy, who is about 4 years old. And my daughter just married him last week.
Oh, my goodness.
How cool is that? And also, the mother of my now son-in-law, she's the one that introduced me to one of my very best friends, who brought me into my church that I'm at right now. So I see all of these connections throughout my life and how God has just been, you know, shifting and moving. So anyway, we began going to that church that my friend introduced me to when we moved up here to Charlottesville. And we went the first time, and I remember, like most people, it's like you have a checklist of things. Well, they don't have that, but they have this. This I can deal with. This is nice. But I remember walking in the front door of the church and the person that greeted me, I remember who it was. She hugged me. She took my daughter, who was just 1 year old at the time. And it was like she was my grandma. I mean, she was just the most kind, loving person. And we just felt loved when we were there. And it was something that I hadn't experienced before. And so after that first visit to the church, we said, you know what, we're just going to be all in. We're just going to commit. We're going to do this every week. And we did. We started going every single week. But I had this plan. I had this idea in my mind that we were only going to be here for a few years. And then we would go back to Virginia Beach. And then I would get a teaching job because I got a degree in music. So I was going to get a teaching job at a Christian school, and my kids were going to go to school with me. And I had this whole plan in my mind, and it just was not panning out the way I wanted it to. And so after, you know, 3-4 years, I started to get really antsy. I started to look for jobs for my husband back home. I started to look for houses, and he would say, no, we're so blessed. We have everything we need here. We're doing well. My job's fantastic. And I remember one night I was just so desperate because I was miserable, and I really didn't have a reason to be miserable because I was so blessed. But I remember sitting in my bed, and my husband was working late that night. I had two young daughters. I put them to bed. And this is the first time that I really remember intentionally opening my Bible in my life to read the scripture of my own accord. So I took the Bible, opened it, and I just opened it to the book of Philippians. And this was the verse, and I call this my life verse. This is Philippians 4:11-12. And it says, this is Apostle Paul. He says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstance. And when I read that verse, I said, if you could do that for Paul, if you can make Paul content, would you make that happen for me? Please, God. And that was the beginning of God working in my heart and seeking him. That was the moment. And so I just made the commitment. I said, even though I don't necessarily, you know, feel any kind of supernatural presence or feel anything happening, I'm just going to commit to do my part. So I was very intentional from that day forward to begin to pray, to begin to read scripture, to really try to live out the life, not just check the box off and go to church. And that was really the beginning of me being drawn to him, me being drawn to have relationship with Jesus. And then after that, it really landed at the piano. I mean, that's where he really taught me what worship is sitting at a piano. And that's how God knew he was going to get to me, was through music. And so I would sit at the piano every day. And it was like The only word I can come up with is compelled. I was compelled to sit at the piano. And I would sit there, and even though I wasn't raised in church, I could remember these old hymns. You know, I have the old Rugged Cross and Amazing Grace and, you know, the ones that most people know. And I would sit at the piano, and for the first time, I didn't need music or anything. And I just started picking out the words, picking out the tunes, and playing them. And the more I played, the more songs he would bring to my mind that I'd heard before. And so that was something that was, you know, the Lord really drawing me to him through worship. And it became such an intimate, personal thing with the Lord for me. And it was every day I would sit at the piano. And there was one song that I had heard at church, and it had the word green in it. And I couldn't remember what the song was. And I remember one day, this is several months after, you know, I had opened my Bible and read Philippians. And I remember calling my husband because he was at work late. And I said, what was that song with the word green in it? And my husband, he can remember anything, which is great because I remember nothing. So we're a great match.
That is a gift.
And I remember asking him, you know, what that song is. And he said, I don't remember, but it's going to come to me. And sure enough, he remembered the song and he sent me the lyrics to it. And it's called You Have Redeemed My Soul. And so he sent me the words of the song. And I sat down at the piano with nothing. And again, it just all flooded back. And I started playing that song over and over and over. And here's the words. It says, you have redeemed my soul from the pit of emptiness. You have redeemed my soul from death. And then the verse says this, I was a hungry child in a dried up river. I was a burnt out forest. And no one could do anything for me, but you brought food to my body and water in my dry bed. And to my blackened branches, you brought the springtime green, there's the word, of new life.
Wow.
And nothing is impossible for you. And green has always been my favorite color. But that song, I don't know why it was that song in particular, but that was the one that the Lord just compelled me to sing over and over and over. And I remember the very day where I call this my sanctification moment. I remember the very day where it was like the light bulb just went off. I sat to play that song like I had done probably hundreds of times before, and I wept. I just couldn't get the words out. And I realized the words of that song were my testimony. Like he had been doing that all this time. I was a dried up river, and he was the one that was giving me new life. And the more I played, the more I worshiped, the more I felt that life running through me. And that was the day that I said, Lord, even my music is for you. Everything is for you.
Wow.
And yeah. It was maybe a few months later that our worship pastor left, and the Lord was really kicking me to say, just say, you can help. You don't have to, you know, make a big proclamation that you're going to be in ministry. Just offer to be available to help if needed. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it didn't take long. I knew the Lord was calling me into ministry. And so I started taking classes maybe 3 or 4 months after I started leading worship at the church.
Yeah.
And that was many years ago. So there's my long story of my introduction to relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Just the tapestry of worship for you and how God used that. And there's different things, like we all have different gifts, but he weaves those things together. And it's not lost on me that your dad was a musician.
Right.
So I'm wondering how much, just before we go farther in your walk, I want to go back and ask, like, was there a lot of influence from him early in your life with music? Or is that something that you maybe just inherited those gifts from him? Or did he?
Well, I definitely inherited his musical genes, but he had a very different musical mind. He was into jazz. He played saxophone and he played keyboards a little bit, but he didn't play in church. He liked to play in, like in Virginia Beach, he would play, I don't know what kind of music you call it. Like beach music. That's what I like to call it. But my dad always desired to be a performer. That's mm-hmm. what he wanted to do with his life. And so, unfortunately, he had to get a job and raise a family. And so he wasn't really ever able to devote all of his time to doing his passion, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But I learned from him that practice is what really makes a good musician. I remember my dad locking himself in the bathroom, and he would play jazz scales for hours and hours. I mean, even though he was a fantastic musician, he practiced all the time. And so for that, you know, I'm grateful because he modeled for me what it is to be a good musician. It doesn't just happen.
Right.
It takes a lot of effort. And he saw that skill in me as well, because we had a little keyboard. And I remember him teaching me how to play by ear. We would listen to songs and he would play jazz chords. And then he would say, play that chord for me. And so he did. He spent a lot of time with me when I was very young, cultivating that. Mm. In fact, his dad, my grandfather, told me, this is funny, but he told me, I was about 8 or 9 years old. He said, I will give you $20 if you learn how to play the theme song from The Sound of Music. And that was another thing that really encouraged me. And sure enough, I learned how to play it. I got my $20. And here's another funny thing. So my grandfather looked identical to Christopher Plummer.
Mm.
I have pictures of the two of them at the same age. They looked exactly the same.
Wow.
Music was a part of my life, but we didn't play the same kind of music. And
right. Yeah.
My dad didn't really, you know, he wasn't a pianist. But he did make me go to piano lessons, and I'm thankful for that, too.
Yeah.
He said, having an ear is great, but you have to learn how to read. And so when I was in fifth, sixth grade, he started me in piano lessons with one of his coworkers that played piano. And so I remember, even in Virginia Beach, it was a 30-minute drive out to my piano lessons. And so I would sit for that 30-minute ride, and my dad would talk to me about life and his work and, you know, all those kinds of things. So, he did. He saw that talent and really cultivated that in me when I was young.
Yeah. Well, what a gift that he helped prepare you for the future, you know,
right.
and what God was calling you to. And I just...
And my dad, he was actually, he played saxophone. He passed away about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he would have said that playing the saxophone was his favorite. But for me, it was hearing him play the guitar. That was my favorite instrument when I was growing up. And I loved hearing my dad play the guitar. And I always wanted to play the guitar. But when I was 9, I asked for one. And I got a ukulele, not a guitar, because he said, you're not big enough for a guitar. And I remember being so disappointed in that ukulele. But what a blessing it was when my father passed away. I actually got his guitar and I started to teach myself how to play. And now I even play well enough that I lead worship with it. And that to me is so special because it's like a part of my dad is there with me when I'm doing that.
Yeah.
So it's really special.
That's beautiful. Well, I'm going to ask you this now because I would love going back to the song. That you came just in fully into a relationship with the Lord that had the word green in it. So I'm thinking about our earthly families sometimes let us down, right?
Right.
And I think we all have at places and times that those things happen. And I know that your parents separating was, I can't imagine what that was like. And I know it impacted you, but just to look back and to see how God brought people into your life, your grandfather, your now husband, the manager of the store,
mm-hmm.
like to see the tapestry of people that he placed around you when the world was going to let you down.
Absolutely.
God had a plan. And today, mm-hmm. This is Easter, right?
Yeah.
And I think anyone listening today can say, hey, I can identify with that. Like my earthly community maybe has let me down and in however, whatever ways that may have happened. But today we're celebrating the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus, that he died for our sins to justify us, right, and to save us. And not only that, but to walk with us, yes, so that we can go to heaven, but so that we can have abundant life here. And he gave his Holy Spirit to us as believers. And the scripture out of 1 Colossians that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us, which is not exactly maybe verbatim, but that was a life-changing scripture for me when I read it, to realize that I didn't have to do this on my strength.
Right.
And God is so faithful in that. And we're going to attach the song that you talked about so that people, maybe someone wants to sing that today, declare that he has redeemed them.
Right.
And just make that declaration for the first time or the 100th time. But today could be a new day of new life.
Right.
And so this just blesses me that the timing even of this for those listening today that need hope, because our world feels pretty shaky right now, but our foundation in Christ is firm. We have a firm foundation, and we can look to the Lord, and we can be saved and safe in that relationship.
Yeah. And Pastor Julie, if you could just share the name of this song, and that'll be a great way for us to close this Easter program today.
The name of the song is called "You Have Redeemed My Soul." And I believe the original was written by a band called Water Deep, or Waters Deep.
Very good.
That's great.
Well, this is very timely. And I really want you to come back and we'll have another conversation. Because we kind of just, this is the tip of the iceberg, right?
Yeah.
But I think this is great.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
God has been so faithful to me. So, so faithful.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so, yeah, this is great and so appropriate for Easter.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today, Pastor Julie. It's been great to have you.
Well, thanks for the invitation. Always a joy to share about the Lord.
And thank you.
He is good all the time.
Amen. Amen.
That's good.
And we leave you with this song. We pray that as you've heard Pastor Julie Harris's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.